Be lifted high, be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted high, be lifted high, be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted high, be lifted high, be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted high, be lifted high, be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted.
King of all the ages, you're the King of all the ages. You're the author of salvation. You're the reason why we're singing for your glory. Lord, release the sound of heaven. Let it rise in every nation. We will join the anthem singing.
Good morning, KKXX listeners. I hope you're having a great day, and today we are on the air. Your host, Curtis Smith, with Christ Today. And I have a very special guest on the air with us today. Her name is Judy Thompson. Hi, Judy.
Hi there. How are you today?
I am great. It's a beautiful day, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And one of the things that makes it so beautiful is that we serve a God who created this day. And he said to rejoice and be glad, for this is the day he's made. And I am excited that it's a beautiful, wonderful day. It started out that way, and that's the way I hope it to be the rest of the day today. What about you?
Well, I can tell you that I'm really glad to be here with you. And I already started out by working this morning. And it is another day that God has given, and that is a gift to every one of us.
For some of you, you're like, Judy Thompson, who is she? Well, Judy, who are you? Can you tell the audience a little bit about who you are?
Well, I am a licensed marriage and family therapist, and I am the executive director and the clinical supervisor at the Growing Place Counseling Center, which we established here in Chico on East Avenue a little over 4 years ago. I am also a wife and a mother and a grandmother, and above all, I think it's my life as a Christian and my love for the Lord that I would say is the most important.
Did you guys get that? Her love for the Lord. How many people out there would say they love God? I can say I do. It doesn't matter how we feel. We may feel like he doesn't love us, but know one thing. He loves us. And because of him, we're here today to encourage you. I don't care what you're going through. God is bigger than your problems. Anyways, Judy, can you please let the people know how you became director of the Growing Place and when it happened, how it all came about?
Well, it was one of those God things that you always sit back and say, wow, how did this happen? I went back to school a number of years ago after the loss of a son and was taking classes just because I was lost and had no idea what to do with my life. And my husband had asked me, what have you always wanted to do, Judy? And I had never had the option of going to college. So I went to Butte College. It was a pretty unusual experience for me. I was 50 years old. I had had one semester of junior college, and I was there with all these young people. And it was exciting and fun and gave me something to do with my life. That led to deciding to be a therapist and going through a master's program at Chico State and doing all of my interning hours and training hours at Neighborhood Church.
And how long did you do that before you had going what you have going now? How long did you do that before that came about?
A long time. I started out with taking a lay counseling class at the church and then doing some prison ministry for about 13 years. and then turned around and went to college at 50 and actually graduated at 59 years old, Chico State. And all those years, I was at Neighborhood Church, either as a lay counselor or a trainee or then an intern. And then finally, when I licensed, I decided that it was time to move out. And so I got an office and a private practice and moved out. And when I did that, God said to me, now I want you to go back and build the counseling program at Neighborhood.
If you don't mind me asking, how long did it take that you did that before you now have the successful program that you have now?
It took 6 years. The people that came to me, that God just brought people to me with a heart for helping other people, with a heart for the Lord, with a heart for healing and caring, loving people, we pulled together, God did, pulled together a group that we trained and walked with, and we prayed 6 years to the point that God said, go and take this into the community. Take what you've established here and take it to the wider area, take it to the community. And so after 6 years of prayer and God said, go, we opened a place called The Growing Place.
And how many people would you say the Lord has used you in reaching out to, ministering to, and helping see their lives turn around since you've been doing this?
Oh my goodness, I can't count numbers. I would have no idea.
So many.
So many. Certainly I deal with mental health issues and I deal with therapy, but The Growing Place, we also do life coaching and we do training and teaching. And so we have held classes for a number of years for people who either want to grow personally or who want to grow and take the training that we have into another ministry in another church or in their own private ministry or where they work or even into their own family.
So are you still doing that as far
yes.
as the trainings?
Yeah.
And how do the trainings go? I mean, how long of a training is it? How does a person get involved in a training they wanted to? How do they really get to be a part of what you guys are doing so maybe they can do this as well?
We have classes that go on all the time. The basic ones for faith are a class from American Association that is called Caring for People God's Way, which is a combination of therapy, which is clinical therapy or any kind of counseling, you would call it, that coincides with the faith part of it. How do we look at people through God's eyes? How do we help with God's principles? So Caring for People God's Way is one. Another one is called Breaking Free. And then we do life coaching training as well. And one of the life coaching trainings is spiritual formation. So we are now launching something new with being able to do brain health assessments. And so taking care of that beautiful head and beautiful brain that God gave you is a really important thing in our lives.
What is a brain health assessment?
Oh, it's like looking at all the areas of your life, and it looks at whether you eat right, whether you sleep right, what things bother you, whether you're depressed or anxious or ADD or whatever, and look at what kind of what we call natural pharmaceuticals, which are basically herbal environment, because we don't prescribe or do medications. We monitor medications for people that are on them, but we don't do that, but we know what makes a healthy brain. What kind of vitamins and things like that. So we just help people to function better with the gifts that God have given them.
So basically, if somebody's going through something, you basically might encourage them to take some kind of a natural product or some kind of something natural that could be of help too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what might be some things that you could recommend to our listeners today that they may want to try as naturals for maybe if they're dealing with depression or maybe they're dealing with the holiday blues. I said it, the holiday blues, Thanksgiving and Christmas is coming up, and we're going to talk about the holiday blues here in a moment. But if they're dealing with the holiday blues, what would be something that they might, besides the Word and besides prayer and besides God, which we know those are the most important ingredients in anybody's life, what would be something else that you would recommend to someone that might help them that's a natural?
Okay. Well, basically, we follow the guidelines that come from Daniel Amen, and he is a psychiatrist. And he is a brain health expert, and we basically are an affiliate of his business. And so we follow his guidelines. And he, you know, is pretty clear that everybody needs to take an omega-3. They need to take vitamin D. They need to take a natural vitamin. If you're having memory issues, you can add ginkgo. There's a lot of things that we can suggest, and then we send you to somebody who knows more than us about how these apply to your life. like a lot of referrals go to like the health food stores or to like SNS and places like that where people can actually get really solid information on what these natural things do in your life.
You would agree that prayer and ministry is important, but not as important as other simple steps that people can take to better themselves as well. So a mixture of the two is probably a mixture of having God help us, but also things that we can do like natural products and stuff that together could help to say, keep somebody healthy on the right path so that they're not going through constant depression or medical depression where they end up having to go on drugs?
Well, I think we start out with the premise, at least I do in my life, and we do at the Counseling Center. We start out on the premise that we do pray. We do, you know, advise people to have fellowship in a church somewhere. I mean, we look at kind of the holistic program for people of what really makes their life work better. So adding something to your faith or adding something to your routines of prayer, you know, one of the greatest needs in this world is for people to have contact with other people. Probably the worst thing that can happen over a holiday season or at any point is isolation. That leads people to being suicidal. That leaves people to being hopeless and helpless. And finding ways to interact with other people and being connected to either a body of believers or your friends or somewhere where you have interaction, it goes a long way for keeping people healthy.
What about somebody that just doesn't have somebody out there, or maybe they've lost somebody recently? What about people that just say, well, I don't have anybody, you know, and I'm all alone? How would they go about finding someone or getting involved with someone where they don't have to be alone during the holidays and they don't have to go through the depression that a lot of people, for whatever reason, go through?
Well, everybody knows somebody, but it's most of the time what happens is we don't want to reach out when we're feeling bad or when we're feeling blue or we're down. And holidays can be incredibly lonely because I think we build up such great expectations of how wonderful this was as a kid or how wonderful this should be or could be, or everybody seems to be happy. And that's really not the truth. But as far as getting connected, you can talk to people in a library. You can talk to people in a store or a coffee shop. I mean, you can create relationships if you're looking for people. It isn't all connected all the time or necessarily all intimate relationships, but there is a possibility through clubs or groups or churches or whatever to form enough of a relationship that you're not feeling alone.
And that is key, because a lot of people out there, even though they're around people, some still feel like there's just no one they can relate to. But I'll give everybody an idea out there is that, you know what, whether you have someone you can relate to or not, know that you can relate to God and He can relate to you. Know that He's there for you during these holidays. For a lot of us, it's hard because it's like, well, I wish people were around. I wish I had someone I could talk to or spend it with, you know. It's not about the money. It's not about the gift. It's about quality time with people, relationship building. Even if you meet somebody new over the holidays, getting together with people, that is key. And that's key for people that have lost people in life. I remember when I first met my guest here, Judy, when I first met her, she was going through a loss. And she's experienced some of that. She knows how important it is to have people around when you are experiencing loss. It's good to have God. He's key. But it's also good to have other people. And you want to go into that a little bit about how that helped you when you were going through your loss?
Yes, I will. Well, Curtis, it's interesting because that's a lot of years ago that I met you and your mom and dad at a church. And we were a family in town. My husband had been here for years, and then we married and settled in with four children in our household. And we really didn't have any family in California to go to with a holiday or to be with. And so we asked at the church that we were attending if there were people that didn't have anyone to be with. And we got together with a bunch of different people at our house on a Thanksgiving. And I decided that if we were alone and sad, it was our own fault. And so we really needed to go stretch out our hand and our ideas and invite people. And that is the first time that I ever met Curtis. And he reminded me of that when we talked about doing this program, because I had really, not that I had forgotten who he or his mom and dad were, but that I just didn't put the things together when he called me to see if I'd like to do this. We reached out. That's what we did. We put ourselves out there. And sometimes you have to put yourself out there to get any result.
I'm glad you said that. A lot of people may say, well, you know what? I'm just afraid of the rejection. I've been rejected or I've been hurt by so many people. People have told us that they want to get close to us and stuff. We just don't feel that. And I'm sure there are people out there that can relate to, you know, it. Why do we have to have anybody for the holidays when we could just be by ourselves? But you know what? You may feel like being alone, but loneliness is not the answer. Loneliness is not key. And even though you've been rejected, don't be afraid of being rejected again. I mean, that may sound kind of weird to you, but there's always somebody out there. If you talk to enough people, like Judy and her husband, that took the time to care, because I wouldn't have thought about her all these years later if I wouldn't have remembered the time that they invited us to their house. And they could have invited anybody. And sometimes we want to be to those that are just close to us. But you know what? I'd encourage you, some of you out there, maybe you know people that are alone for the holidays, invite them over. Have dinner with them. Let them know you care about them. Isn't that what we as Christians should be doing, is encouraging one another and building one another up and being there when someone else is down and alone and sad? Or, you know, should we just be all focused on ourselves and all bless me and my family and no more? You know, no, we got to be about other people. That's what the love of God is all about. And my guest knows a lot about love. You do, don't you, Judy?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I sure do.
Share some experiences that you've had where you have the love of God has just been made so real and has manifested itself to you in such a way that maybe our listeners could be encouraged.
Well, I think one of those things is at least the counseling center. I can relate to that, or that was the first thing that comes into my mind, because we prayed 6 years as to whether we should move off the property at neighborhood and take this to the community. And when we did, within 24 hours, we found a place. God said, go. It brought so much joy to all of us. We found a place to move to, and in 24 hours, we were moved and open with the permission of our church, with their blessing, without any heartache or hurt or trouble. And honestly, that never would have happened without God's blessing and without Him preparing the way for us. And, you know, the question about being loved, I mean, just look at the beauty of the world or those around you or the gifts that you have, and understand every bit of that comes out of God's love for you. And, you know, we have two ways that we can live in the world. And I talk to people about this quite a bit. We can do things for other people because we want to be loved. Or we can do things for other people because we are. And the belief that we are loved and that we have something to give away is the greatest gift that we have. Because if we love others, that love comes back to us. If we withhold, nothing happens. But God fills us with His love, and then we give it away. That is just a real blessing. And that, you know, Curtis, one of the things you and I talked about before we turned this program on was, how does joy come?
And I'm about to ask you that.
Joy comes in giving. Joy comes in someone else's happiness and someone else's pleasure and knowing that you've helped someone who needs it. And joy is an enduring principle. Joy is not happiness, because we can be happy and unhappy about 5 times in a day if we just look at our circumstances. If we run out of gas or a car won't start, or this morning my aunt dropped a whole tray of raspberries on the floor to clean up, and that did not make her happy. So there was no joy in that, or no happiness in that. But the joy is in living in relationship. The joy is giving. So it was an interesting experience this morning of saying, it's okay. It's okay. We have to give in order to receive.
Somebody out there says, I just don't know if I'm joyful or not. I just don't know if I have joy or not. How would you share with them how they may know that they have joy or that there is joy in their life?
Well, joy is very different than happiness, like I said, because happiness is, you know, if my tummy's full or somebody smiles at me or whatever the basis may be, I could be happy. But it's an enduring belief that you are cared about, that you are special, that you are loved by your Creator, that the God of the universe stepped into this world so that we would know Him. And that's joy, that someone else is in control. Blessed be that it's God. Sure wouldn't want it to be me.
Yeah, it kind of is sad and we're in control because we just tend to mess things up. You know, I was just thinking of an acronym that has to do with the word joy. And if you take the letters apart, J, Jesus, He should be first. Others, they should be second. yourself, it should be third. Joy. Because if you take Jesus off, you just have oi. And if you take the O off of it, you have Y. You put the three together, it's joy. Jesus, others, and yourself. And if you focus on Him, and if you don't know Him, my prayer is that you will come to know Him. Maybe you're out there and you're like, well, I've heard about religion, but I'm not religious. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not even, this show's not even on religion. This show is on helping people, informing people, encouraging people, and really uplifting God. And, you know, life without God, you would agree with me, Judy, that life without God is not life. It's existence. And we're not here to exist. Am I not correct?
You're right. And, you know, that would be empty, wouldn't it? And life is meant for us to be full. God says that we can have life and have it in abundance. And abundance is the joy and the infilling of Him. It's all about Jesus. It's not about us.
And the thing about being empty is if you're empty, you have nothing to give. But when you're full and you're overflowing, there's a lot to give out. Mm-hmm. There's been many times where I had nothing to give. But I got around people that had stuff to give, and I received so that I could give. If you keep it to yourself and 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 you don't give it away, that's a sad situation. Because there's so much in you, why not give it away? That's why we care about people. That's why I'm here. I'm not here just to do an hour show. I'm here because I care about you folks out there. And if somebody out there likes what they're listening to right now, feel free to call in. Ask us any questions. Let us know that you have questions. And you are listening to the show on a beautiful, bright Saturday. It is between 11 and 12. But the best time to get a hold of me is on Thursdays between 11 and 12. That is when you can ask your questions, and that is when you can be answered. However, for today, we want to go on further and talk about the holiday season of Thanksgiving. There's so much thanks to be given for this season. For myself, I know. I believe I have so much to be thankful for and so much to give at the same time. But for those of you that out there that you just don't care for Thanksgiving, well, hopefully by the end of this show, you'll be glad that we talked about what we talked about today. And one of the things I wanted to ask my guest is getting to depression, because this is something that she deals with. How can you give someone some encouragement through the holiday seasons to overcome the holiday blues?
Well, that's a pretty big question that you just asked me. Basically, holidays are difficult, and I think we stated this early on. They're difficult because we have expectations or hopes that things will be fun or better or exciting, and oftentimes that's just not what happens. And so part of what we need to do is try to stay with people, out in the public and with people. But also, if we're looking at depression, there are things that you can do. Exercise is one. Being around people is another. And we have to look at how you're eating or how you're sleeping. There are many things that tell us that people are depressed. And I think one of the major features is if nothing around you feels good, there's no energy, there's no excitement, what you used to do for fun doesn't feel good, you're not sleeping really good or you're not eating really good, and those things lead to depression. And then you need to reach out for help. You need to talk to someone about it. You need to find out the things that you can do about it. And that would help you a lot. The other thing is, you know, there is a lot of opportunity in this community to go, like, watch the Run for Food. If you can't run, you can still be there. Volunteer somewhere. There are places that we can go, and when you start to focus outside yourself and onto giving and getting involved in other things, then that helps you to overcome some of that depression. Sometimes you need medical care for severe depression. Most people can be depressed or anxious at some time in their life, but it is not always clinical depression. Sometimes it's holiday blues. Sometimes it's SADS, which is if we ever get rain and a lot of cloudy weather, that makes some people sad. And these things pop up on holidays, particularly bad because we want it to be different than that.
And it can be. It can be. Depends. It all has to do with perspective. Everybody's perspective is different. And some people, no matter how happy you try to make them, they gotta choose to be happy. You can choose to be sad, you can choose to be blue, or you can choose to be happy. But when you know how much people care, and you know how much you're cared for by the Father God and by His Son Jesus, that His Son Jesus would go to the cross for you and give you strength. I mean, so many times I've been weak. You have too, right?
Oh, yes.
And what do we do? Do we just wallow in that weakness? Or do we call on God for strength? Or the Holy Spirit for strength, for that matter? And I think when we call on God, He is a very present help in time of trouble. That's what the scripture says. And He is our strength when we are weak. We're going to go through weaknesses. We're going to go through sad times. But don't let that dominate your life. Don't let that overcome your life. Choose to grab it by the horns and say, you know what, with God's help and grace, I'm going to have a beautiful day. I'm not going to be depressed today. And if you can't get over depression and you can't break through it, Judy be glad to see you and talk with you. But she can't help you unless you're open and willing to receive the help from God. She's there. And I wish I would have known this years ago, that people are there and they care. But until you understand how much God cares for you, nothing's going to be able to help. Nothing. It might solve the issue, but you can go to a doctor and take a medication that solves the problem, gets rid of the symptoms, but the problem's still there. And I'm sure that if we can break free from these holiday blues and get over them once and for all, I'm sure that life would be so much more exciting. Would you not agree, Judy?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would. And we can break free, you know. And medication does help. I mean, there is a place for medication, and we can't deny that there are some things that are genetic. There are some things that are different than circumstances that can make us sad or fearful or anxious. And those take medical intervention. And, you know, if we had diabetes or we had some other physical problem, we would take some medication. Well, your brain is an organ of your body, and it does control a whole lot. And so if you can get that functioning really well, that helps you overcome some of the things in your life that are really bad. I know school made a whole lot of difference for me. Having my family makes a lot of difference for me. I know that at the counseling center, none of us are without problems in our lives. We have 8 people there. We have life coaches. We have marriage and family therapists. We have marriage and family therapist interns. And we have life coaches and mentors. We have a lot of ways that we can help you if you need some specific help. And our belief is that everybody needs help sometime or another. And that's because life is hard. Life is not easy. It has its good and it has its hard. And God's in all of it. But we grow in the hard times. We really do when we reach out. But what happens to people is they try everything they know. And then when that doesn't work, they have nowhere to go. So everybody gets stuck. And you can get stuck in the holidays if you can't control your expectations and you don't take any steps to take care of yourself. You have to do self-care. That's incredibly important. God doesn't say be selfless. He says, you know, measure yourself well and know who you are and know who you are in me and who I am. But He says, take care of yourself because your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit and I live here with you.
Yeah.
And so self-care is really important, and particularly over the holidays. And a lot of times 12-step programs use things like HALT, H-A-L-T, which means don't get too hungry, too angry, too lonely, too tired, because you don't cope well with your world if these things happen. So what does that say to you? You need to have company, you need to eat, you need to sleep, and you need to control your anger. So that might be a help for some of you at this time of the year or at any time.
Somebody comes into your office, Judy, and they don't know what's really going on with them. They don't really know why they're even here. They don't even really know why they woke up this morning. They don't know what they have to offer. What's the first step in counseling that you would do to help them to see themselves for who they really are?
You know, I think the first step in counseling is always trying to build a relationship and find out who the person really is and what they're thinking about and what their experience is in life. And you mentioned something a little earlier about perceptions, about how they see themselves and how they see the world. And part of it is kind of like a puzzle. People are a puzzle, and you got to kind of put the pieces together in order to see a picture, to figure out like where it hurts or where it doesn't fit and what happens next. But anything that's healing or helpful is built on relationship. And I think the hardest part of life is that we get wounded in relationship, and then healing happens in relationship. So it would be looking at somebody's life. Where do you think you're doing well, and where do you think you're not doing well? What do you think that comes from, and what can we look at that can change that? You know, one of the things that has always been said about therapy or any kind of counseling is that somebody who does the same thing over and over and over again and expects different results is not going to get anywhere, because we have to do something new. We have to have a change. That was why, after the loss of my 17-year-old son, he was killed in an accident here in Chico, I could not put life together. I could not. And nothing mattered. And so my husband, in asking me what I had always wanted to do, and sending me back to school, gave me a purpose and an intent for every day. And that's an important piece in keeping mental health, is be intentional in your life for getting up in the morning and having breakfast and going for a walk or reading a book. Or there are things that are intentional that are healthful for all people. And so looking at that and being intentional on self-care is a really important piece, not only during the holidays, but all the time, but even more so with the holidays.
So if we don't do the self-care, such as the proper sleep, proper eating, taking care of ourselves, those things, but it would be something that would lead us quicker into depression, correct?
Yeah, that would lead into clinical depression. If we just do nothing but get sadder and sadder and sadder, and we isolate more and more and more, and we sleep less, or we eat more, or whatever changes that are significant in our lives, that can lead to clinical depression. And that is a diagnosis of looking at your whole life and finding out that you need some help. You really need some help. And you know what?
Thank you for telling me. I need help, people. I need help.
You know, there is not, but we have to look at this. There is nothing wrong with needing help.
No,
you know, there are so many people that think only weak people go for therapy. I want you to know that when you go in to work on your problems or your issues, you better be pretty brave, because it isn't always easy, but it does move you forward and it does change your life.
But counselors are perfect, are they not?
No. Oh, no. No, no, no. We live in families. We live in relationship. I think the only thing that we do is we do work as like for the counseling center. We have an accountability to each other, and we all work. We take care of each other as a group. I know the mandate to me when I started supervising people in the counseling center was that I was responsible for their well-being. And so we do regular check-ins on how they're doing, because they're normal people just like everybody else.
So someone might have a question out there, and they might be saying, well, you know what, that's fine and dandy, and listen, I'm liking the show, but I'm not depressed and I'm not blue, so how do I help those that are? What would you give to the listeners, ways that they might be able to help someone that's going through depression or even being blue at this moment?
Be a good listener. It's really important that people are heard. You know, lots of people hear, but they don't really listen. And so being a good listener is a skill in some ways, but it's interest, true interest in someone else. And that's really helpful to anybody who is sad or hurting. And most of the people in the world who maybe don't have depression or anxiety but are lonely, they just want somebody to talk to. It isn't like you have to know everything or there isn't some big magic book. It's caring. It's caring about somebody enough to give them some of your time or your attention, to listen, and to care about how they feel and where they are and what's going on with them. We're not responsible for making people different. We're responsible for caring.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because when we care for other people, we don't seem to be as sad, as blue, as depressed as when we have nobody to care about or no one else to be interested in. When we're busy giving of ourselves to others or trying to find out how to maybe help or encourage or bless others, the focus isn't so much on what we're going through. And you've been through that yourself. That's probably one of the things that you experienced when you invited people like my family and I over to your house years ago when you were going through the hard time that you were going through. But you opened the door for people to come in and have dinner with you. Being caring for others, that probably took a lot of pressure and weight off of yourself that would have been there otherwise, correct?
Yes. Well, I think God has always done that with me. I can remember, because, you know, grief is something very specific. And a lot of times we don't understand that because we don't identify the steps of grief very well, or the fact that we are just not up to par. We don't have a lot of energy. We're not functioning very well. Everything seems to be a big deal, too hard. So we back away from things we used to do. And I experienced all of that when our son was killed. And I can remember that the pain and loss and grief were so bad that I just wanted to quit. I just didn't want to do life anymore. Mm. And I know what pulled me out of that was God said, there's some people out here that are really hurting and you really need to help. And I got a couple of phone calls from a friend and a couple of people that I knew, and they said, we need you. We need you to come and help. They had experienced losing a child in crib death and were lost. And I said, I have nothing. And God said, go. That was an incredible experience for me, that some of those things that are just so meaningful, because when no matter if you have nothing, God has everything.
So true.
And he can help you to do what you absolutely cannot do on your own. And I want you to know that we experience that every day in the counseling center. We don't have fairy dust. We're not magic. We work with people out of our hearts. We work with people with skills or talents we've been given, but we work with people with, we just listen to God. We so truly listen to the heart of the Father for the children that he loves. And God wants his children healed. That's the biggest mandate. You know, the mandate in our lives that for us at the counseling center was to be able to bring affordable counseling.
Affordable
counseling to the people that there's an unserved population of people here mm-hmm. in this area that are raising families. They may have or may not have insurance. They may not have a lot of money. They may not have a lot of resources or family. They haven't had a lot of training. Whatever the situation is, we are a nonprofit corporation that is a community benefit corporation to be able to help people that don't get help. That's the goal, because God wants his children whole.
Yes.
You know, we talked a little earlier, Curtis, about the fact that God's promises is that Jesus will return someday.
Yes.
And we don't know when that is.
That's correct.
But according to that, it's like God's kids have to be whole. We have to be able to stand.
Yeah, that's true.
Whatever that is. And so knowing that we are great, much better ambassadors of God when we're whole or when we're healthy or when we deal with our stuff and can encourage other people to do the same thing.
So basically what's being said here is imperfect people out to help imperfect people to become whole and healthy and well so that they can help others. Because unless we have help ourselves, including myself, I'm not ashamed to say that I see a counselor. And you know, there's nothing wrong with seeing a counselor, but you know what? I got to be willing to do what's given to me, what's advised. And also, I have to be willing to go to God, because the counselor's not the solver or the fixer. They just help you see what's wrong that needs to be fixed. And then you can take that to God. Because have you ever been told to pray about it? Just pray about it. Well, I would if I knew what to pray about. So the counselor, that's what they're there for. And if you can't afford them, like she said, they're affordable. They're sliding scale. They will work with you. Don't be ashamed to pick up the phone and say, hi, it's me. I need help. Like the TV commercial, hi, it's me. Yes, call up. We can't go to you if we don't know who you are. But we're having such a fun time. I want to take a moment away from the interview. And I want to say, wasn't Tuesday a great day? A great day for our nation, for those of you that might agree with me. And if it wasn't, I pray for you. But Tuesday was a wonderful day. It was elections, and we had some turnarounds in this country. some things to be rejoicing about, not to be sad about or blue about or depressed about. We have some things to be thankful for. We have some people that have stepped into office, and we need to pray for those people. Mark Sorensen, Renette Filmer, and Andrew Coolidge. They need our prayers. We also need to be praying for our government, our leaders. Those are people right now that probably need a lot of help. They're just not recognizing it. But they need our prayers because they're going through some stuff that only God can help them with. They are the ones that are in charge of our country, our county, our city. Every decision that's made, they have to come together and figure out what's best for us as a people. I hope some of them out there are godly people seeking God for his answers, because we really need God's answers and not people's. But the other thing I'd like to say out to all you folks today is, if there anybody that has anything to give us that they like mentioned over the air, feel free to call the station. You know that we can talk about anything that you guys have that you want to list as far as an upcoming event. And also, too, if you like this show and you want to sponsor it, get a hold of me. You can reach me through the station and just ask, how do you become a part of Curtis Smith's program? But the other thing is, I want to take the time to thank friends of mine, people of mine out there that I know are behind me, back me, encourage me, and then are really good friends of mine. Not that I have to, but I just want to say a quick shout out to Ralph Skitty, the lock doc in town. If you guys are looking for a broken lock to be fixed, call Ralph. Give him a call. Let him know that my lock needs fixed. My key needs remade. And you can reach him at 345-0354. 345-0354. He'd be glad to come and fix your lock for you. Also out there, too, I'd like to say a quick shout out to Dan Martin, Martin Auto Sales, in Chico on Nord Avenue. I'd like to say a quick shout out to him. And I'd like to give you guys an invitation to Sundays. Not this Sunday, we'll be meeting at someone's home, but the fellowship is called Studies of Grace and Faith with Dave and Kathy Hildebrand. And it's awesome. It's awesome to have fellowship, have lunch together, and really come together and reason together and encourage one another in the faith. And then also, too, the guest today, she'd love to hear from you guys as well. If anybody out there knows of someone that's going through something, or if they're going through something and they need to talk, I'm sure she would be glad to give you guys her place of business, which is the Growing Place Counseling Centers, with the phone number. And that is?
Basically, I'm going to give you my phone number, which is a cell phone number, and it is 530-592-6322. I will be happy to take your calls and answer your questions, or to find a counselor for you if that's what you're looking for. 592-6322. That would be good. Our address is 1074 East Avenue in Ramada Place. We are in Suite A4. And the sign above our walkway to our door says, The Growing Place, Counseling, Coaching, and Education. Call me.
If you are going through life and you need help, not maybe counseling, but help in how to figure things out in your life, one of the things that my guest has brought up several times is coaching, and it's life coaching. And I'd like her to talk a little bit about life coaching and how she as a coach can help people with their situations, not necessarily depression or the blues, but other situations, how she can coach you. And the things that she does in coaching, if she can talk a little bit about that, that would be awesome.
Okay. Well, thank you for that opportunity too. Basically, I do not do life coaching. I do therapy. But I do have life coaches, and my husband, Bert Thompson, is really head of the life coaching, and we teach classes in how to do life coaching. So we equip people who maybe want to go into their own business, and then we have life coaches in-house that work with clients. And basically, therapy is looking at your life forward and backward and trying to figure out what you stumble over or what's hard for you or where you got wounded and need to get healed, and your perspective, and things like that. Well, life coaching is very different than that, because life coaching is forward-looking. It doesn't look back as to why you're where you are. It helps you go forward in any way that you want to go forward. If you want to work with other people who are wounded, or if you want to be an entrepreneur in some kind of a business and you don't know how to set one up, if you want to grow in your faith and be able to help other people grow in their faith, we teach spiritual formation. It's a very forward-looking process with things like personality testing, where look at the gifts and talents and where you want to go with those and help you set goals and help you achieve those goals by accountability. So it's another side of therapy because it's pretty much one-on-one. Some of the trainings and stuff go on in groups, but basically it's like a plan for you, for your life, for what you want to accomplish, where you want to go, and how you get there. So that's a really positive and effective way of helping people achieve what they want to have in their life.
Life coaching, how many people would you say that are looking for life coaches? What might be some of the steps that they would take in finding a good life coach?
Well, basically, it's calling us at the counseling center, and then we can hook you up with someone who can examine all the things that you want to do and what your gifts and talents are. You just call us.
What steps do they take in deciding who a good life coach would be for them?
It's any life coach that has training can help you set goals, look at your life, and do assessments. I mean, we've trained our people really, really well. Everybody with us is certified. There is no licensing for life coaching. Anybody can like put a sign and say, I'm a life coach for fishing, or I'm a life coach for baseball, but you have to have the credentials to do that. You have to have a gift, a talent, some kind of an expertise. And that's what we have in the people that we have with us. They have a gifting in an area where they can really help someone else that has that particular area where they want to move forward in their life.
And do you have any success stories of anyone that has benefited from the life coaches with your program?
Yeah, it's wonderful. We actually have two life coaches that are not on the premises with us anymore. They got all their training through us. They were a life coach for us for a while. One of them is now life coaching in Texas. And another one is life coaching particularly with young women in self-esteem, in their worth and value, that sort of thing. And that's in Oregon. So it's like we're kind of expanding our tentacles out a little bit by sending out some people that we've trained into other areas. And, you know, most of us need some kind of skill in what we want to do.
And wouldn't you say that the best thing to come with the skill and what you want to do is to kind of get coached, maybe kind of get advice and counseling from guidance from somebody that knows a little bit, that can kind of walk you through maybe where you're at and where you want to go, and they could bring ideas to you that you could then decide from there where you want to go so things are better for your life? Because I know for me right now, I'm looking at what I can do versus what I've been in, you know, and there might be people out there and you're the same way. You're like, well, this is where I'm at. I feel stuck. And you want to get out of that stickiness. So what would you say to people that may be stuck wanting to get out of the stickiness and are not sure how to go about it?
Come and talk to us. Find out. We'll look at why you're stuck and what things are in your way. You know, a lot of times we have a lot of ideas and we want to do something really great, or we have something that we think would be fun or even financially valuable to us, and we don't know how to get the blocks of wood out from underneath the wheels to make this thing go forward. That's when you just need to come in and talk to somebody, because part of life coaching is going through, okay, so where are you? What do you want next? Where do you want to go? That sort of thing. And a lot of times it can be a change of career because of a change of jobs. You know, life does a lot of changes for us. It can be starting over again if you've had a divorce. How do you move forward from that? Or you've had a loss. How do you do things? So how do you pull your life together, and what do you want to do with the rest of your years? I mean, my husband and I are older, and here we are. We're still working, and we're still moving forward. And it's like, okay, so how do we get there? We talk to somebody. We plan it. We lay it out. And that's what we do for people with life coaching.
Did you yourself, before you became a counselor, did you go to a life coach, or did you have a life coach, or were they even around at that time?
I don't think life coaches were around at that time. I mean, we've got to go back. And, you know, I went back to school at 50 years old in 1990. Okay, so if anybody's out there adding, they can figure out that I'm pretty old by now, because I've been doing this for quite a while. But basically, life coaching is something that is relatively new, and the reason it's so popular is because, I mean, if you want your child to be a really good volleyball player, or you want your child to be a real good baseball player, if you can't coach them, you find someone to coach them. There's a lot of areas in life where there are coaches. Well, the interesting thing about life coaches, we certify, train our life coaches But basically, there is no licensing for them. This is not considered a profession that is licensed. So a lot of people who have done therapy or are trained in the area of therapy have gone to being life coaches because it takes away a lot of the rules and regulations. For us, because the counseling center rests on my license and everybody is certified or in some form of licensing, we're very specific that our people know, that we know exactly what our people are doing. There is nothing for us that is without accountability. And that's an important piece if you're going to choose a life coach. Find out if that person has any credentials in the area that they want to life coach you, and are they accountable to anyone, or are they just out there? Because that can happen. But it didn't exist when I picked this. It was sort of like God said, Judy, here you go. This is the channel. Walk in it.
Something you've mentioned on our show at least four times is accountability. We're close to the end, but would you talk a little bit about accountability?
Well, it isn't nice to be out there as a Lone Ranger. You know, the Lone Ranger is kind of that Western, I've got it all on my pocket. I'm the one who can take care of life and do it all by myself.
He needed a Tonto, didn't he?
Yes, he did, and a good horse. But the interesting part about that is without accountability, there is no security. And when you're particularly for us, when you are looking at the fact that what God is doing is trusting us with his precious children, there has to be an accountability to what you say, what you do, how you conduct yourself. So there is never any neglect or abuse or use in any area that is beneficial to you and not to someone else. We just don't allow for that. So we are an accountable group, and I think we all need accountability in our lives. How can we get anything done if we're not accountable to somebody? I think that's incredibly important, and it is specifically and especially in the areas of therapy and life coaching that the people that are doing that work with God's kids are accountable to God and to leadership. And that's part of my role. That's part of my role at the counseling center.
So when looking for a life coach, best to know those that you can count on to have an accountability partner in their life or are accountable to someone, not to find someone that isn't and think they can be a coach to you anyways, correct?
Yes, I think that's exactly right.
And that can lead into problems?
Absolutely, because it can be unethical, and that's just not, that would hurt God's kids. You know, one of the counseling mandates is do no harm. Do no harm. That's big in our life.
That's a biblical principle.
It is
not to do harm.
You know, without God, we would be wandering in the wilderness, and we are not, because God is our primary resource. Jesus is the answer for us. We pray about everything. We conduct ourselves the way we should.
I'm glad you mentioned prayer.
And that's the way it works.
I'm glad my guest, Judy Thompson, has been with us today. I hope you guys have been encouraged. But I bet you there's some of you out there, you're just like, you know what? I just need prayer. So we're going to kind of pray for you guys. And then we're going to release the show. And hope that you guys will turn in next week and listen to me and my guest next week at 11 to 12 on Saturday. And we will have a special guest in the in the studio with us at that time. We're going to end in prayer. So I'm going to ask my guest, Judy, if she would close us in prayer and pray whatever she feels the Lord has placed on her heart for you folks out there.
So precious Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to talk with Curtis and to share some of the things that are on my heart and on the heart of all of us at the Counseling Center, to be able to be part of the healing program that God has for his children. So Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for those who are listening. I thank you for those who walk with the Lord and who give themselves away for other people. I pray, Lord, that if there are people in the audience that are listening that need some help, that they will call, that they will reach out and say, I need help, and we'll help those that we can. We can't help if they don't call. But Lord, I also know that you can, by your power and authority, be anywhere, that you can touch anybody right now, sitting in their car, sitting in their living room, walking down a street, that need a touch from you. So Father, that's my prayer. for those that are hurting, for those that are ill, for those that are confused, lost. Lord Jesus, be real to them. Be the counselor to them, the comfort. Send your comforter, Lord Jesus. Bring to them what they need in their life today. Bless them. Hug them, love them, comfort them, empower them, and we will give you all the glory for your gifts to us. In Jesus'
name. Before we go, we have a couple more moments. I'm going to give a scripture, one of my favorite scriptures, and I'm going to have my guest give one first. So I'm going to ask her if she can pop off the top of her head any particular scripture that sticks out there that would be in relation to what we spoke about today, that would be an encouragement for you guys, a scripture that maybe you could look up or that speaks to her that may speak to you.
You put me on the spot there because that's not where my mind was.
Sorry.
No, because I honestly believe, I think my favorite scripture, and I'm not going to give you verse because, but I'm going to tell you what it is, and that's, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. If we come to God with our hands open, he is there. And so we seek him first, and then everything else is there.
Mine would be, he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. He started a work in you, he's going to complete it. If he spoke something to you, it will come to pass. Don't get worried. Don't get stressed. Don't get discouraged. Know there's a number you can call if you need to call and talk to someone. And if you need help, there are people out there that care for you. And know also that his eyes are watching you. All right, folks, talk to you next week.